and welcome to City Visions. I'm your host, Lauren Meltzer. Tonight, our topic is the data-driven life, understanding the quantified self. Many of us, in fleeting quests for self-improvement, have taken a shot counting calories, recording our moods, or even on occasion, checking our own blood pressure. But is there a way to gain a deeper understanding of our health, and in the process, gain a greater say in the treatment of what afflicts us? To our guest this evening, the answer is yes, and it lies within what is known as the quantified self movement. Started in the Bay Area and first popular among Silicon Valley techies, the movement is gaining ground across the country, and many say it's not just a fad. The concept underlying the movement is self-knowledge through self-tracking. Proponents say self-tracking can help people accomplish anything from losing weight and eating better to identifying chronic illness triggers and preventing diseases. What kind of technological advances are making self-tracking available to more people? Are there barriers to its widespread acceptance? And how might a rise in the self-tracking movement influence healthcare delivery? And how can you become a self-tracker? Joining me to discuss these issues and more are in studio, Dr. Paul Abraham, and he is a Abramson. Excuse me, we had a slight change right before the show. So we have Dr. Paul Abramson, and he's a medical doctor in San Francisco and a member of the clinical faculty at UCSF, and he started a private practice that integrates self-tracking into medical care called My Doctor Medical Group. And he is a former electrical engineer and programmer, and he's been self-tracking for health and greater awareness for a number of years. Welcome, Dr. Paul.
Hi. Thank you.
We also have in studio Ashley Tudor. And she's a design strategist who focuses on innovation in health. And she is also the author of Sweet Potato Power, a guide to nutrition and self-monitoring to optimize health. And in 2010, Mayor Gavin Newsom named Ashley one of San Francisco's top innovators in health. Wow. Welcome, Ashley.
Thanks so much for having us.
And by phone, we have Jim Keane. He's the CEO and founder of Wellness FX, a San Francisco-based company that provides biometric tests, consultations, and a web-based platform for consumers to organize and track their health-related data. And in 1995, Jim founded Sapient Health Network, which became the foundation of WebMD's consumer health business. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, and welcome to my fellow panelists.
And, of course, we'll be taking calls from you, our listeners, starting in about 20 minutes. You can give us a call at 415-841-4134 or email us at feedback@cityvisionsradio.com. So let me start the show with Dr. Paul Abramson. So you have been working in the quantified self movement for how many years now?
I think I started attending Quantified Self meetups just before the first conference. So that would be about 2.5 years ago.
Okay, so can you tell us what is the Quantified Self movement? And we've talked a little bit about it. Can you give us a little more information?
That's a good question. I think it means many things to many people.
Okay.
But it started out as a basic sort of users group of mostly technology people who were tracking themselves using various rudimentary technologies and doing personal experiments. And so they started meeting, much like the PC user groups in the 1970s and 80s, to talk about their own experiences with self-tracking. And it took on a very organic, user-driven format, starting in the Bay Area, but now it's really spread throughout the world. And too many countries and cities to count now have quantified self meetups.
So, you know, it's interesting that you talk about it at such a short time frame, but, you know, how truly new is the movement? I mean, haven't people been counting calories and really trying to monitor themselves for years?
Sure. People have been doing it. Doctors have been prescribing self-tracking for hundreds of years, you know, tracking headaches, food triggers for headaches. That's really integral to neurology practice for a long time. And then people have been counting calories. I don't remember exactly who brought this up, but people, you know, when you get up in the morning and your jeans don't fit, you're self-tracking. And so people indeed have been paying attention to themselves for a long time. I think what's changed is that now it's become the technology has advanced to the point that you can really make it easier for people, and that has inspired a lot of initially geeks, but now just everybody to want to do this more in a more focused way.
And so, when people started attending meetings, was it about the technology,
I think it did start around the technology. I think that's what motivated some of the early people to do this, because they're very technology focused people. But I think it's really starting to transcend the technology into more general concepts around paying attention and tracking yourself.
So now, you call yourself a quant doctor, or that's the quant doctor. What does that mean? Can you tell us about that?
I didn't really invent that, but I'm one of the MDs who has been attending quantified self meetups and conferences. And basically, there just was a lot of initial complaining going on about the fact that people couldn't go to their doctor and talk to them about their own data or their self-tracking interests, or even get the doctors to participate in helping them to gather information about themselves. And so I was one of the few physicians who started attending, and now there's many, many more physicians who are really actively involved in the movement. So I just wanted to start writing a little bit and blogging and starting discussions around how could we get the medical community more involved and open to these kind of approaches that are more about the individual person and their own data than about the medical system.
Okay, well, I do want to loop back to that in a little bit, mm-hmm. but let me bring Jim Dean in. Jim Dean, you're the CEO of Wellness FX. But before working in the health field, I read you were a ballet dancer.
That's right. Keen, K-E-A-N.
So how did you go from dancer to self-tracking tool CEO?
Well, I've always been interested in kind of human movement, and when you're a fairly highly trained athlete, which, you know, dancers are, and I also played college football, I basically got super interested on how, just as a person, I was functioning, and could I optimize my output? Could I jump higher? Could I turn more? Could I run faster? And I was raised by a mother, actually, who wouldn't let us eat sugar and processed foods or anything like that. So I grew up being very aware of the things that I was putting into my body. So over time, through school and then just when I got out of business school, I really decided I was interested in human health. And I went to work for an orthopedic company, and what really jumped out at me is how little people understood about kind of how healthcare worked, but also just self-management. And so over time, it's just been kind of a lifelong practice of mine to try to figure out how things work, but not really from pretending any great knowledge or anything like that, but from more of a philosophical approach of how would I as an ordinary person try to access these things and make myself better.
Okay. So then it was really very personal.
Yeah, it's very personal, and I've always followed my heart as far as both career and things I like to do. So as I got into this intertwined nature of my artistic and athletic pursuits, they translated into what I was working on as well. And so in 95, I was actually working for a consumer reference CD-ROM company, which that was back in the days before the internet, where they would shrink wrap software and sell it through a storefront. And our best-selling title was Mayo Clinic Family Doctor, and we sold 6 million of those a year. And it was just amazing to me. Every Christmas we'd sell a lot of CDs, and we'd get back most of them after Christmas, but the Family Doctor never came back. And so when the dawn of the browser came up, which 1995, I thought, wow, these titles are all going to move online. And I love the fact that people love health information, and I also thought there's this consumerization of health going on, and that people were going to start accessing more health resources. And I thought the first thing that would probably break away from the clinic, because at the time clinics had, you know, your doctor had the monopoly on information, And with a browser, you could paste that over a medical database, make it searchable, throw up a couple community terms and tools, and pretty soon you had consumer-driven healthcare content. So I think that was the first piece of the foundation that was laid down in the 90s, and it actually set the foundation for all the other things that came out of it.
So do you think, does Wellness FX feel like the natural next step for you?
You know, I see it as a continuum. I don't think Wellness FX could have worked in the 90s. What we're trying to do, we picked off a couple things, and we're really just trying to automate it so people can measure themselves better. But we decided that if you wanted to have access to whatever biomarker you wanted, you should be able to walk in to your digital clinic, which means creating an account and buying your diagnostics and then seeing the results. And actually, it's illegal in most states for consumers to directly buy diagnostics and review those without somebody sitting with them, as it were. And so setting up a system that state by state would have an ordering and releasing physician so that you could get access to any diagnostic you wanted, to me was a great place to start.
So it's your site has been noted it's as a Google, the Google Analytics for your body. Is that right?
Yeah, that's one way of looking at it. That's what one of my investors says, and I partially agree with him. I have to keep the peace on the board. But I would also say we really feel like we're democratizing access to the means of measuring yourself, and in a way we're kind of subversive. We would really like to have more people in buying more diagnostics because our intent is to drive the cost of measurement through the floor.
Okay. Is there a social, anything socially driving you besides, you know, in terms of healthcare and wanting to make a statement or, against the healthcare business, or is it really just trying to give consumers, more control?
I want consumers to be able to go in and quantify their health and do that anywhere, anytime they want. We all have such busy lives now. I was at a conference a couple months ago, and a futurist was giving a speech. And one thing that really stuck in my head was the family of the 1970s has 26% time, more time than the family does today. And so a lot of people are super busy. They don't want to go through a lot of bureaucracy. They're pretty well-informed people. They like to discover what's going on within their bodies. And the two things we do are first of all, access to diagnostics. But secondly, we have made it so that it's possible to have a telehealth consult around your data. And that's the other kind of core piece of our platform, is that we really believe that you shouldn't have to take time from your day to drive in and see somebody to talk about your diagnostics. We still think there's a place and time. I have huge respect for Paul and the way he's driving his practice and whatnot. But I think that if you can introduce more points of actual content, content and contact, then you don't have this phenomena where every 2 years somebody decides to go check up on themselves. I mean, maybe it becomes cheap and easy and fast, and you can just check in on yourself every 4 months.
You know, before we bring in Ashley, I'd actually like to just take a step back. And could you tell me, so if I'm a person who's interested in tracking myself and I'm interested in your Wellness FX site, can you tell me from, you know, what I would do and how it would actually work? Because in layman way.
Sure. You sign on to our site and it looks interesting to you, and you decide to create an account and become a customer of ours. And the way that works is that when you create your account, you fill out a little bit of a questionnaire, and then you get a purchase requisition that you can print out and just go to any one of 1,600 LabCorp sites in the United States. And we're soon to add another large lab system, probably first quarter of next year, so we'll end up with about 6,000 different places you can go. Or maybe your company decided to sponsor it on site, and so we send a phlebotomist or somebody to draw blood to your workplace. So however it happens, your biology gets sent to the lab. About 2 days later, you get an email that says, "Susan, your results are in. It's time to look at them." And so you follow a link, and you can look at your results. They are surfaced in a really nice way. We still have the lab values in there, but they're actually portrayed more with colors and ranges, and it's graphical. People absorb pictures a lot better when you're presenting information than you do numerical ranges. And then once you look at your results, then you get a message that says it's time to schedule a consult with a practitioner of your choice, and you can go in and to a directory and pick who you would like to have you walk through or be the pleasing voice in your ear guiding you through your biology.
So basically, when you go in, are these people that have already figured out what they need to track or the information they're looking for in the blood analysis?
You know, it is. We get a whole variety of people from 20 to 85 years old, different levels of income and education, although I say for the most part our people are probably in the upper third as far as education, maybe upper half as far as income. But they're all driven by a huge amount of curiosity of what's in my panel and can I cheaply and easily buy it. And so the biggest thing is curiosity, first of all. And then secondly, the ability to retest and track, so follow your trends.
Okay. Well, let me invite Ashley Tudor to join us now. Ashley, you've been working with health and diet. How have you seen the quantified movement impact diet?
Well, it's a great question. You mentioned that people have been counting calories since the invention of calories, and that's true. And I think many people have reached a wall with how effective just that metric can be and is. You know, lots of people pay attention. They go out to the store and buy 100-calorie packs and really make an effort to watch their calories, and yet they still have a big tire around their stomach or have horrible, horrendous cravings that they give in to every day at 4. So I think this is a great tool, tracking in general, looking at other ways in which we can engage our body beyond just the calories in, calories out. So for many, it works a little or it stops and then they just get frustrated. And so it's a way to really deconstruct the issues that are happening in your body as they're happening and go after them and proactively make them something that you're watching and paying attention to. So everything from sleep to maybe looking at some of the other things that food triggers, like hormones or stress or that sort of thing.
So, you know, the interesting thing, you also wrote a book, which I read, and I love, Sweet Potato Power. And what I really was intrigued by was how you talked about there really wasn't like one diet fits all. You know, it was almost like you know, each person's biology was impacting, you know, how they should go about food and intake and watching what they eat or what kind of information they needed to control different aspects of their biology. Was
right.
This an aha for you too, or did you know that, you know, as a dietitian years ago?
Well, one of the things that I keep hearing from people is, oh, I'm healthy. I work out 30 minutes a day at the gym 4 to 5 times a week. And I'm still fat. And biology didn't make us to be fat. So there are other dials and triggers that we can play with to understand our health and really engage with it. People just don't know how, and they don't have the tools, or they don't have amazing doctors like Dr. Paul here to help them sleuth out and uncover what's going on in their body. So it's a great system, or it's a great way to say, hey, if I'm still overweight, maybe this is a sign that something else in my life isn't right. I have chronic stress, for example, that makes me store fat, or maybe the types of foods, not just the amount of calories of foods I'm eating, are causing me to, again, store fat or not be able to lose the weight that I want to lose.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, this is City Visions. Tonight we're discussing the whole quantified self movement. And my guests are Dr. Paul Abramson, who is a doctor, medical doctor, a self-tracker, and a member of the clinical faculty at UCSF. Ashley Tudor, who is a design strategist who focuses on innovation and health. And she's also the author of Sweet Potato Power, a guide to nutrition and self-monitoring to optimize health. And by phone, we have Jim Keane, who's the CEO and founder of Wellness FX, a San Francisco-based company that provides biometrics tests, consultations, and a web-based platform platform for consumers to organize and track their health-related data. If you'd like to join us, here's the phone number. It's 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Or you can join us by emailing us at feedback@cityvisionsradio.com. And you can also post a comment at the City Visions page on KALW.org or our Facebook page. But I want to hear from you. Have you ever self-tracked? And what were you trying to learn more about? And what was your experience? Again, the number is 415-841-4134 or email us at feedback@cityvisionsradio.com. So Ashley, when in terms of self-tracking, do people that want to look into the kinds of things that you're talking about, do they need specific tools, or do they, is this something they would use, how would they get this information?
Well, that's a great question. To begin with, self-tracking doesn't have to be big and complicated. As Dr. Paul said, it can be as easy as putting on a pair of pants and having them feel tight, and it gets more complicated from there. I mean, adding a pencil and paper and some time in history, or getting much more complicated in looking at your blood work, like Jim Keen and his company Wellness FX do. So there's a big range, and it really depends on your comfort and what you're wanting to track and learn about yourself. I personally love pencil and paper, and that just watching your behavior and watching what you do and having to write it down changes your accountability for what you're doing. So if you're having to write down every day what you're eating and exercising, chances are you'll make better decisions when you write it down. If you want to add a fancy app in here or start tracking medications and maybe the side effects for medications, there are tools to help you do that. And these tools, sensors, are becoming really inexpensive, really easy to use. So it just depends on your body and what issues are most important and pressing for you.
And how do you, it seems like a, you know, what comes first, kind of chicken or egg? I mean, how do you know what to track initially?
You just have to pick something and start. I mean, Dr. Paul might have
Dr. Paul, he's a
clinician of tracking.
Well, I'd like to just differentiate the reasons people track.
Sure.
And there are some people who are tracking just because they're a little obsessive compulsive, and I fall into this category. And I just like to measure myself and pay attention. And in that, I would lump people who are also into mindfulness and self-awareness. So just who really want to understand what's going on better. And then there are people who are more in the wellness category who want to improve their fitness, their weight, you know, so things that are not really necessarily having to fall into a medical paradigm. And then there are people who have real medical problems who are very symptomatic. Nobody can figure them out. Or they have medical problems that don't have really good approaches and treatments that from the conventional paradigm, and they want to take matters into their own hand, into their own hands, to empower themselves to figure out what's going on with their own body, what things might work, and to do experiments. And that's really where I'm trying to operate, where people who have actually have a real problem that is urgent to them. And that, I find, is often a great opportunity for self-tracking, because in order to track, to write things down, to use an app, to do all this stuff, it takes effort. It's kind of a hassle. And if you don't have some real pressing issue, it's very hard to get people to do it over time. So that's where I've focused my attention, because people are actually motivated to do it.
Do you end, but as a doctor, does your role change when people are self-tracking, or is it really the same that you're kind of the detective making sense of all the data?
It's completely changed. And at least that's what I'm trying to facilitate here, is to take the traditional top-down model of medical care, where you come in, you tell me some things, I process them in my brain, order some tests, process that in my brain, and then I tell you what to do, and turn it on its head in a way that is challenging to some people. Many people really want to come in and just be told what they need to do. But really, to make it focused on the patient, ask them sort of what's going on and what their goals are, and empower them to use the physician or other members of their team more as collaborators to help them in a responsible and efficient way design experiments and do things that can really empower them to take control of their own health.
Are all doctors on board at this point? I thought I read somewhere that there was a little don't ask, don't tell in the medical community about, I guess, gathering information or being... Is that true, or is...
There are some real structural barriers, and some of them are cultural. Some doctors really just like to give orders and don't like to collaborate, but I think that's not the main problem. The main problem is structural in the healthcare system, where physicians just don't have the time and incentive set up to really be able to listen for a prolonged amount of time, to be able to handle any sort of anything outside of a very quick exam and the prescription. It's all set up to make that not very feasible for even well-intentioned doctors to pull off.
Have you seen improvement in terms of diagnosis and just getting solving issues, medical issues, mm-hmm. since you've started using this?
Well, we've set up a subset of my medical practice that's sort of a new format, where there's a physician where I see and examine everybody. They're all my patients, in quotes. And then I refer them to something I'm calling a quant coach. Her name's Lauren. And so this coach is someone that I've trained to help people do self-tracking experiments. And she's a personal trainer and has some nutritional savvy and has some skills, but mostly she is then helping them to collect baseline data about what's going on, and then we can, with my help if needed, conduct some experiments and help people do that. And so she meets with them every week and facilitates feeding back, having them tell their story, and really constructing a narrative of what their experience is in a way that they can understand better what's going on and what they might want to do.
So what sort of training does she have to have? Or
well, we're still working this out. I mean, right now there are only about 4 self-designated quant coaches on the planet. One of them is in my medical practice, and I think I'm the only one doing it with medical supervision. Everybody else is doing it more in a peer-based coaching paradigm, which also has its value, but I'm sort of experimenting what happens if you take people with real medical problems and try to integrate this into medical care, where you do it where in case something comes up that's urgent, so someone's kind of minding the store from a safety a safety perspective.
But this is really progressive thinking in the medical field. I, as somebody who really want to watch a lot of my trackers or to track myself and markers in my blood, I'm required to go through a gatekeeper of my doctor, and oftentimes my doctors put up barriers for me getting cholesterol panels more than once a year.
Are those insurance or barriers or other things?
Well, the insurance isn't going to cover me checking my cholesterol twice a year because I'm a healthy young lady. But even if I ask for it, they'll say why, or just put up big roadblocks. So finding the right doctor who will write you prescriptions for the test that you, the more invasive test, the blood test that you want to do when you're quantifying
I should say
it's really hard.
Okay, sort of more on a political level, there are some structural barriers to if doctors are contracted with insurance companies, they really are working for the insurance company and not for you. So there is an undisclosed conflict of interest there, or it's disclosed, but it's not talked about. And they're often very reluctant to do things that aren't considered sort of medically necessary, even if you're willing to pay for them, which I find kind of shocking. And the price of things is also incredibly not transparent. I think Jim King can talk more about this, but you know, there are 15 different price tiers at Quest Diagnostics for lab tests. A complete blood count. The range of cost for a complete blood count is between $2 and like $100.
But Jim, I want to hear about prices. Before I do, I just want to say for listeners, this is City Visions on 91.7 KALW San Francisco and on the web at KALW.org. And I'm Lauren Meltzer. If you're just tuning in, tonight we're discussing the quantified self movement. And joining us are Dr. Paul Abramson, who's a medical doctor, self-tracker, and member of the clinical faculty at UCSF. Ashley Tudor, a design strategist who focuses on innovation and health. And she is also the author of Sweet Potato Power, A Guide to Nutrition and Self-Monitoring to Optimize Health. And by phone, we have Jim Keane, who's the CEO and founder of Wellness FX, which is a San Francisco-based company that provides biometrics tests, consultations, and a web-based platform for consumers to organize and track their health-related data. And you can join us by calling 415-841-4134 or emailing us at feedback@cityvisionsradio.com. And we will be taking calls in just a minute. But let me go back to you, Jim, in regards to pricing. So can you tell us a little bit more about prices?
Sure. So Paul's absolutely right. Pricing is all over the map. But I will say that our service, what we set out to do was actually, when we were negotiating with labs, they said, okay, so what insurance codes are you going to need and this and that? And it was, we were going to have to triple our headcount just to handle claims verification. And so we decided we were going to see how far we could drive things down, and we said we're going to be direct pay, and you don't have to worry about that. So the pricing we got was set just a notch above Medicare, Medicaid, because it's illegal to charge the government more than a private company. But our pricing is actually some of the most competitive you'll find, and we really try to keep the pricing low because we'd like to actually have a larger user base. But to give you a comparison, our baseline panel is about 30 biomarkers, and it's packaged with 20 minutes of time.
And what's a biomarker?
So a biomarker is anything that, with respect to blood, that you're trying to measure, like a cholesterol marker or triglycerides or glucose or hormones. But, you know, a biomarker can also be how much belly fat do you have or what's your blood pressure. So it's something that tells you about yourself from a biological standpoint.
Okay. And so you have 30 biomarkers, and like how much would that cost someone?
So our we package it with 20 minutes of time, and that's about $199. And probably the diagnostic part of that for us, I probably get shot by my co-founder, but it probably runs about $70. If you took that same panel, because we had an experience with somebody 2 weeks ago, actually, because we get a lot of fantastic customer feedback, and they wrote us and said, you know, I walked into LabCorp and I wasn't sure, I was a little confused if I was paid for or not, so I asked and they looked me up, and the LabCorp tech told me, hey, you know, you want to know what you'd have to pay if you're walking off the street. And what they mean is the walk-up rate on diagnostics are if, as Paul said, you can persuade a doctor to prescribe you outside of your plan a rec to walk into a LabCorp and get tested, then that's called the walk-up rate. And so the walk-up rate that she was quoted was $800.
Okay, so, right. So it's significant.
Yeah,
but
so
I should mention
towards being consumerized.
I should mention though that physicians can contract with the labs for wholesale prices, and then they can pass that on to their patients if they wish.
If they wish.
And so it's, no one in their right mind should walk up to a lab and pay retail, although a lot of people do unwittingly.
Okay.
Because it is always possible to get better prices if you're clever.
But that's one of the big barriers when we get into more complicated self-tracking. One of the huge barriers is access to diagnostics and transparency of cost. So the system isn't really set up for us quite yet. And what's great about this movement is as patients are demanding more information about their bodies and want to engage more in their health in meaningful ways, we're going to be the ones that push the system to change to suit our needs better, which is exciting.
That's fantastic.
Well, and also walking up to actually doc shop for diagnostics is actually really daunting for a consumer, because you have to take it on trust. You're going to call somebody and they're not going to give you a really hard time, like, why do you want to see this? Or I've been told, when I first started this, I actually did a lot of tests and I got various answers. Like, one classic one was, I'm not going to order those for you. And I said, why? And they said, well, I don't really think that you need to see this information. And then later on it was, well, and I also, I don't, my practice doesn't use these markers a lot, so I'm not as familiar with them as I should be. So you're absolutely right. You can walk up and talk to a doctor, and if you get a sympathetic one, they will order those for you. But actually finding a way to just cut the brain damage is really a huge value for consumers.
Okay. Let me go to a caller. We have our first caller, Karen from Berkeley. Good evening, Karen. Thank you for joining City Visions.
Oh, good evening to everybody there. So I'm just listening to the program, and I'm hearing a lot of words that are being used, like if you can get an app, you set an app, you need an app, you can program your app, you can decide what kind of app you want. So if you're going to go into any of these kind of digital services that you've got, do you have to have a iPhone or an iPad or a computer? And if you don't, how does this affect somebody being able to get involved in all of the complex situations you're talking about or testing?
Well, you can self-track if you have a pencil and a paper. So you can do any of this with no technology.
Well,
however,
the blood test too. They're not the markers.
Well, no, you need a needle to get blood from your people.
But yeah, that might be a little trickier.
But what we're talking about with the quantified self movement, a lot of the companies that are coming out of this and a lot of the new stuff does involve computers and smartphones and a variety of other little devices that hang off of all that and you. There's a big technology overlay. I've really tried to stay what I call device agnostic and not be wedded to one platform or one technology because it's constantly changing and it's evolving very rapidly. So companies that were here a year ago are no longer here. So I think it's more important to focus on your own health than one specific little technology, although they can be very useful.
Karen, have you ever done any self-tracking?
You know, I generally don't go to doctors. For many, many years, I didn't even have health insurance. I just kind of treat myself and, you know, do a fair amount of exercise and have a fairly good diet. I'm almost 70. I don't have any major illnesses. I'm fortunate. But I'm listening intently. I have had blood tests. I have had medical issues over the year, and I've always just gone to a doctor, and I have Medicare right now. But I'm just very interested in the jargon that you guys are using for self-tracking. I mean, I try to monitor myself and know what I'm eating and have a fairly healthy diet. But this is a whole nother realm, and it's very interesting. That's why I wanted to call up.
Thank you very much for calling in, Karen.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, bye. Good job on your good health, by the way.
The results are what matter.
Yeah, well, I mean, but it does, Karen does bring up an interesting point, because, I mean, in terms of the idea of accessibility, because it would seem like, although Karen's very lucky, it would seem like the people that might need this the most would be the elderly, yet they might not have either the funds or might not be able to control the kind of technology, the new the new apps. So, do you think about that at all, Dr. Paul or Ashley?
Well, I think the real power of this is for a whole new generation of people who are really proactive about their health. And when we're really proactive about our health, we can understand and go after issues before they become problems. And so for me, I want to grow old and just die one night in my sleep or just keel over instead of having to deal with a lot of these degenerative diseases like diabetes or those sorts of things that really affect quality of life. And so for a younger generation coming up and learning the language of their body using these new tools, we're able to be really proactive in our health in ways that maybe past generations haven't been. And so it's a great time where we get to use understand our body and use sensors and technology to help peer inside and teach us a language that we maybe wouldn't necessarily know unless we had these tools.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I have people in my practice I think my youngest is 18 months in my practice and my oldest is 102 and a half. And so I have a variety of people that I take care of. And not all of them are going to want to use self-tracking technologies. It's just not, either they don't have a problem that's really needing that kind of thing, or they're not interested, or for whatever reason. We're really trying to find the people who are really who find this compelling, and then drive forward as much as we can to find out what's possible. What can you do with the benefits of this kind of approach?
Can you tell us a story about any, I know it's probably confidential, but is there like someone vaguely you could talk about and have a story?
Well, our numbers are relatively small right now in our self-tracking cadre. I mean, we've got probably a dozen in the practice, so I can't get too specific about individuals because they might feel compromised. But we're really just trying to, most of the people we're working with are highly symptomatic and have not, say, with a chronic painful condition, fatigue, irritable bowel or inflammatory bowel disease kind of symptoms, or something, some other very disturbing thing that they've really not found resolution by going to doctors with. And so they're also they tend not to have really paid attention to the details moment to moment of what's going on, because they're so overwhelmed by trying to cope with life in the setting of being ill. And so we're encouraging them to, it's almost a slowing down and a mindfulness approach, and using some of this technology, which is intrinsically motivating to some people, to pay attention to what's actually going on. We start there. We don't change anything. And we just have them gather data about themselves and then reflect on it. And we use a little app for a smartphone that we can just set up buttons with whatever things on them that they want to track. And we start with that very simple data gathering. And then from there, we collaboratively come together, come up with some things that they think might be useful to test. And we try to use as good an experimental design as we can so that they actually make experiments one thing at a time. They change one thing and try to really tease out what's going on instead right. of just changing 50 things all at once and not knowing what worked.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, this is City Visions. Tonight we're talking about the quantified self movement that was started here in the Bay Area. My guests are Dr. Paul Abramson, who's a medical doctor, self-tracker, and member of the clinical faculty at UCSF. Ashley Tudor, a design strategist who focuses on innovation in health and is also the author of Sweet Potato Power, a guide to nutrition and self-monitoring to optimize health. And by phone we have Jim Keane. He's the CEO and founder of Wellness FX, a San Francisco-based company that provides biometric tests, consultations, and a web-based platform for consumers to organize and track their health-related data. And if you'd like to join us, the number is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Or you could join us by emailing us at feedback@cityvisionsradio.com or go on to the KALW website and select City Visions, and you can enter comments that way. I want to go to another phone caller. We have Esther in San Francisco. Good evening, Esther.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for calling.
Thank you. I've had an experience that's sort of similar to what is being offered here when I became just so frustrated with the lack of care that I was getting at a certain point where I was having kind of a health crisis. But it did end up being rather costly because I was paying for alternative healthcare visits plus walk-in costs for the test that my alternative practitioner said I should be getting, which turned out to be very smart and really helpful and stuff. So I guess what I think would be helpful here is if you walked us through it. So if I sit down at my computer, which I already did, by the way, and I look up Wellness FX, and then I sign up, at that point, how much does it cost me and what happens next? And maybe if you could just take us step by step.
All right, Jim Keane, can you do that?
And price by price.
No, before we do that, just out of curiosity, did you feel that going through that process was useful in the long run, or was it just a lot of money and it didn't really help?
It saved my life.
Okay. All right. Well, Jim, why don't you...
It was helpful, so no amount of money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, in the end, of course, it was necessary. It led me to resolve one of the health issues so that I wouldn't continue to have this terrible problem. It led me in the right direction, for sure, and resolved both the critical issue and on an ongoing basis helped me to regain my health and vigor.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
When I was pretty busted, you know, health-wise. And I don't have insurance. I can't even afford insurance, but I dug into my savings in order to do these things that I otherwise was being discouraged by the health clinic that I was going to do. They were just saying, not really, no, you know, but really, yes, I needed all those things, and I needed to get to the bottom of this. I couldn't wait longer.
So Jim, thank you for sharing that, Esther. And Jim Keane, is Esther kind of the typical person that would come to your site?
You know, like I was saying, there aren't a lot of typical people. It's just a lot of different types of people in different stages of life. It's mostly a search for access. So, Esther, if you're at our site, you'll see a button that says either buy now or learn more. If you hit buy now, it just brings up a description of what we provide. One thing that's interesting is that the United States is actually regulated as far as practice of medicine by state, so we generally have to check your zip code, because who can order a diagnostic really varies by what state you live in, and also who's allowed to explain it to you varies by state as well. And so if then that looks good to you, then and you became a customer, then what would happen is that you would have an account, and you'd fill in some basic information about yourself to help the practitioner when you had a consult with them. And then you'd also get a requisition form that you could print out and take to a local draw site. And since you're in San Francisco, you're really fortunate. There are 7 LabCorp sites. And you can walk in. It's generally about 10 minutes to walk in, and you'll get about 30 biomarkers drawn. We do both basic biomarkers, but we also do things that your normal physical you don't get. Like most health plans won't pay for a vitamin D test. We also run some key lipid fractions, which are, in a lot of cases, more predictive than your total cholesterol or bad cholesterol measure. So we try to really put in some things that have a lot of value as far as predictiveness. And then you would get an email about 2 days after you had your biology drawn that would say, Esther, it's time to have a consult. And so you could go into a directory and, based on well-written biographies, search for a practitioner that you would like to have explain your test to you. And that's pretty much it. When you have a consult over the phone, you don't have to go to a bricks-and-mortar location. You can if you want. And when you're done, the practitioner will post up recommendations within your account, and the account, actually, you own the information. You we don't give the information out to anybody that you don't authorize, and it's basically your data.
So it sounds like you are you respect privacy with your tools, Jim. But I don't know if this is a question for you or Dr. Paul, but I mean, you're putting a lot of data out there. People are using, you know, tracking via an iPhone or an iPad. Is that, in this environment, can people rest assured that their data isn't going to be used for different reasons?
I think what Jim is doing is mostly labs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's behind a secure site, and I'm sure it's very, you know, they're mindful of that. But if you're just going out and downloading apps or buying devices that are linked to websites of manufacturers, usually you have the option to do it anonymously, to have a random Gmail account and not put your name on it, which does provide you some measure of anonymity. But if you do attach it to your name, then there's not really any privacy protection built into that. So it's worth thinking about if that's important to you.
But there's also value in not having privacy with this information. The more information we gather collectively, the more insight we generate from it. So one website in particular, Patients Like Us, tracks people's degenerative diseases or their drug interactions with their body over periods of time. And it's because people share that information that it can become a generator for learning new things. So now you can see off-label, you can groups gather together and they'll do experiments or run experiments for off-label benefits of a particular drug, and they can test it 5 years sooner than it would go through the FDA for. So it's sharing the information, there's great value to it, and it really can help turn the screw of medical knowledge if we are open and willing to band together and really learn from each other.
Sure. So just to address the point also, it is your account, and you bought the test. The data belongs to you. And you really decide when choosing a practitioner, but in the future we're also going to have the ability for you to share your trends and your profile and your data if you want via Facebook and whatnot, but that's completely up to you. And we don't sell your data or give people access to it or anything like that. We're HIPAA compliant. We also have to comply. It's interesting to do a business like this that combines diagnostics and telehealth. There's probably 6 different federal agencies that govern what we do, from the FCC to a group called CLIA, There's a whole range of them. And then also, in addition to federal standards, each state has their own. California actually is the second most restrictive state. So with respect to what we do, Paul's absolutely right. Since it's laboratory data, we have to set a pretty high standard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let me read an email from Michelle. She wants to know, this is sort of along the lines we were talking about a little bit before, but she said, doctors usually dismiss patients who do research online about their own condition. What can be done about this?
Find a new doctor.
Yeah,
okay,
I mean,
so
I think that's just an absolute unacceptable response for a doctor to have in this day and age. You know, you should really welcome people. Now, on the other hand, if you bring your doctor a foot of documents and say, "Please review this and tell me what it means," and you want them to take your insurance, and they're getting, you know, $40 from your insurance company for the 6 minutes that you have with them, you may not get them to do that, because it comes out of their personal time. So so I think there is some realism that's necessary in today's healthcare world that, you know, roughly if you're asking professionals to do things for you, they need to somehow get paid for their time. At the same time, doctors should really all be encouraging their patients to be proactive. There's no question.
We're the model patients. Oh, yeah. Michelle and I are the model patients, the ones that go in and have questions and want to understand their body and what's going on. And doctors are service providers, and their service is providing information and insight. And if they're not doing that,
right,
you need to find somebody
but
else.
I mean, so how do you have, in your private practice, how much time do you give to each patient, Dr. Paul?
It's really driven more by the patients. We're what they call out-of-network for insurance, meaning we'll help them try to collect money after the fact. But if they want 2 hours of my time, they can hire me for 2 hours of my time. If they say, no, I don't have a lot of money and I really want to do this more efficiently, we'll be as efficient and quick as they want. Most people, it turns out, want somewhere in the order of 30 to 60 minutes if they have something interesting to talk about.
Okay. So, I mean, you've talked about this being kind of a progressive movement, but do you think, in, you know, with the reality of what's out there in terms of, I mean, Obamacare coming along and just insurance companies, do you really think this can catch on in a more of a mainstream way? I mean, most people won't have the luxury to say, I want 30 minutes of your time.
I can start off on that.
Sure.
I'm actually in Washington, D.C. as we speak, because I've been asked to comment on the prevention part of ACA, which is the Accountable Care Act. And I'll hazard a prediction. I think the next 18 months are going to be the most turmoil-filled, for good, by the way, not turmoil is not always bad, years that I think American healthcare has seen in the past 30 years. You have the regional exchanges coming up. You have a whole number of timelines. You basically, 2012 is going to be known as the year that the referendum on Obamacare happened, both with the Supreme Court in June and then in the election, because you had a lot of states waiting to see if Obama is going to win or not. And so now that he's won both the Supreme Court and the election, most businesses are rolling up their sleeves and saying, okay, we have certainty now. We know what the rules are. It's not a matter if we like them or not. We know what we have to go do. And I'd say out of 50 states, about 32 haven't done a lick of work on Obamacare, and they have until January 4th of 2014 to get the regional exchanges up. And concurrent with that, I can't go into the whole plan because it would take all night, but the big thing to know on that is that employers can decide to turn employees loose and not offer health care, and they'll pay a $2,000 per employee fine, but give them a check and point them towards the regional exchange. So what's that mean for the average individual is you're going to have more ability to go out and shop and become a real consumer. But as Paul says, you're going to have to also start knowing how much things cost and if they're worthwhile for you. It's no longer kind of an all-you-can-eat benefit trough. It's more of here's some money and go buy services just like you would go buy a TV or you'd hire a massage therapist.
So really, it sounds like the paradigm is going to change anyway just from what's happening in terms of how healthcare, you know, how what it is as a
we
to be a,
we need this movement to catch on, and it's the only thing that will save our country from huge medical liabilities coming down the line. Diabetes is a curable and preventable disease. You just have to catch it early enough and expect people to change their behavior or have people change their behavior. And the way you do that is through engaging ways to bring insight to people. How much activity do you have? What do you eat? And so it can be fun. It doesn't all have to be blood work and needles and doctors. It can be really a fun learning process to get to know yourself better and to say, like, hey, when I'm sleepy, I end up eating two Big Macs the next day because I'm tired. Or when I'm really stressed at work, I don't exercise. Or when I exercise too much, I have these repercussions. So it's just a way to get to know our body and ourselves. And that's what's really important for us to take advantage of to, again, avoid sickness care down the line and focus on wellness care.
And I would agree with Jim that Dr. it's going to be more and more important for everybody to take more ownership of their own health, wellness, prevention, and treatment, because the system is going to get more complex and it's going to push more responsibility onto each individual over time. I think that's going to be the net thing. So learning how to navigate the system. And I think physicians are going to need to learn more about what things cost and how to help people navigate cost.
So we actually got another email. The crux of her question is, do I need to have my doctor tell me what tests I need, or do I need to go to the lab first? You know, so you know, if someone decides to go this way, will they have to find a doctor that will? I mean, will they relate to the doctor in the same kind of way up front? Or will it be...
Well, as Jim mentioned, in California, you need to have a physician who orders the lab.
Sure.
However, you know, you can request... You need to have an order for the lab from a physician.
Unless you use Wellness FX.
But even then, Wellness FX is using a physician to order the labs.
Yes, we are.
It's just not a physician that you've met in person. It's someone you've met on Skype or online in a video chat kind of mode. So that's the law in California, and they're using one way to work with that. So then you ultimately the physician has to order the labs. So you have to find a physician who will order the labs, and then you hopefully collaboratively work to decide what you're going to order, and then how it's going to get paid for, whether it's with your insurance or whether it's cash or whether it's through some negotiated contract. So that's the basic process. And then the results typically go to the physician or to the like Wellness FX has the labs come back to them. And then the physician shares it with the patient. So the more transparent a physician you can get on your team, the more it feels like you're doing it for yourself.
Okay. Well, we are almost at the top of the hour. So I just want to give each of you a chance to say a final word. Ashley, why don't we start with you?
Sure. I mean, I would just recommend that everyone pick up a pencil and a piece of paper, write down one of the issues with their health that they're having problems with or want to understand more about, and just start tracking and learning. And while we talk about lots of blood work, it really is just that simple. Watch thyself to know thyself.
Very interesting. And Jim, why don't we follow up with you?
Sure. I actually agree with Ashley what she just said. And I also think that you can't let it get to you. There's going to be a ton of different ways of measuring yourself. There's going to be all these foods of the moment, different methodologies. And it's just going to keep getting more and more complex out there. But in the end, what I would do is say, here's the top three things that I worry about as an individual. Either my family has this history, or I feel like I'm going down this path, or I just don't feel like I have a lot of energy, for example. And then just focus on the top couple ones that you want to resolve and begin to problem solve and work with people.
And thank you, Jim and Paul. Do you have Dr. Paul? Do you have a final statement?
I think everybody should experiment a little bit with self-tracking, and it's a very useful exercise, and thank you.
Thank you. Well, that's it for City Visions this evening. Our guests tonight were Dr. Paul Abramson, Ashley Tudor, and Jim Keane. And if you get a chance, definitely go out and buy Ashley's book, Sweet Potato Power. It really is great. For a link to this and other City Vision shows, and let us know what you thought about tonight's show, go to our website, klw.org, and look at City Visions, and there you have it. Our engineer this evening was Bob Summer. Tonight's show was produced by Susie Britton. She's also our show's senior producer. Awesome show, Susie. Thank you. Join City Visions next week when we'll explore the ways that digital media can be used by school-aged children and how that might be changing how they perform in the classroom. This is Lauren Meltzer. Thanks for listening. Good night, and have a great week.